Good evening. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. This is the ode repeated every year at every war memorial throughout New Zealand and Australia. It is an ode that honours the sacrifices made by our soldiers on battlefields in other countries where our troops were called to serve. ANZAC services unite people of many faiths, and we acknowledge all those that have sacrificed their lives fighting to keep our world free from tyranny. It does not matter which church, which synagogue, which temple, which mosque they attended, or if they didn't belong to any faith, their sacrifice was the same. The devastation for their families and friends was the same. Those who returned were changed. Many haunted by nightmares and injuries, that meant they didn't fit back into their worlds of home and family easily. My two grandfathers both returned from World War I severely injured. One died before I was born. The other was a rather scary character who, having been gassed and having metal plates covering part of his skull, was a grandfather I steered clear of. I have a lasting memory of him being bedbound and gasping for every breath. There was no recognition of PTSD in those days, and many men, like my grandfather, resorted to alcohol, which made living with them very difficult for their wives and children. When my father died, and we were cleaning out the house, we came across this letter, and I'll show it to you. Little wee letter. And it's amazing how much was on that letter. To understand the letter, you need to know that in the Anglican Church, children are baptized when they're very young, and then usually in their teens, they take part in a confirmation ceremony and become full members of the Anglican Church. And until they take part in that ceremony, they are not allowed to take communion. This is the letter. Dear Mrs. Norrie, yesterday week, I went into Cairo Cathedral with your son John and with Noel Rouse of our church army for his confirmation. He was confirmed by the Anglican Bishop of Iran, the first New Zealander, I think, to be confirmed by him, who happened to be passing through this part of the world. It was a private confirmation in the morning, very peaceful and most impressive. I think John will remember that day for a long time. I took a photograph after the service, and I will send you a copy if it turns out well. Padre Boys Neil would have been there too, but he was away on a course in Jerusalem. What a delightful boy your son is, and Noel Rouse tells me he's engaged to a very fine girl. You must be very proud of him, and so are we who represent the church, proud of this new full member. The church and the army is going well. We have a number of splendid padres in our division, and at present we are trying to keep in very close contact with our communicants. Of course, we always have tried to do that, but now we're keeping a record of their names and addresses and are trying to write to them occasionally. I've only met John once or twice, but I was very impressed by him, and I thought you would like this note from me to tell you about the confirmation and to say that he is looking very fit and cheerful. Don't bother to reply to this. I hope the war will soon be over and you will have him back home again. Reverend H.L. Underhill, 6th Division Defence Platoon. And this was my father at that time. It made us think about how we turn to God when we are afraid of what is to come and we need courage. How often do we mutter a quick prayer, even just, "Help me, Lord"? I know that in World War II, the Padres were very important to the troops, the people they turned to in times of battle for reassurance and prayer. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew that the path was going to be difficult and painful, but he accepted it that we might be saved. My grandfathers, and then in World War II, my father, had to face battles knowing that they might not survive. In those times, their comfort would have been their belief in God. And as my brother and I saw in this letter, my father wanted to confirm his belief. Shortly after this confirmation in Egypt, he was to fight through Italy and end up in France. Fortunately for us, he came home in one piece, but with memories he refused to share with his children. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me in the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, would have been a confirmation for the men going into battle that whatever happened, the Lord was with them. And in verse 5, David speaks of how God prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. In verse 6, we are reassured that if we believe, we will dwell with the Lord in his house. When faced with the reality of war and fighting an enemy, my father sought confirmation of his place in the church, his right to come to the table before going into battle, and his future in God's house. Padres played a very important role in getting the troops through battles and often the loss of their comrades. In the letter sent to my grandmother, Reverend Underhill writes that they have the soldiers' names and addresses, and they are trying to write to them and keep in touch. The sad reality is that they needed those details in case a soldier was killed, so that they could write to parents and families when their young men died. Every Anzac Day, my father would march first in the dawn parade and then at the mid-morning parade. I remember him getting out his medals and polishing them the night before. My brothers and I were so proud of him as we watched him marching by. But in later years, he no longer marched, as so many of his friends had poor health or had died. Today, most of the soldiers from World War II have died, and they have been replaced by a smaller group of older, graying men from the conflicts in Korea, Malaysia, and Vietnam. My father went to war hoping that it would end all wars, but it didn't. Since World War II, conflicts have sprung up in many countries, and at the moment we hear and see the war in Ukraine on a daily basis. In 1969, to the dismay of my parents, I went into a war zone, South Vietnam, and saw firsthand the consequences of war on a local population. I was young, 20, and inexperienced and excited, thinking that I could make a difference. As I flew into Saigon, we went over the Delta, a very contested area, and I looked down from the plane. I saw huge areas pockmarked with craters, and I remember wondering just what I'd got myself into. For the first couple of weeks, I lay awake at night, listening to aircraft and explosions. But after that, I just accepted them as part of my new world and came to be able to sleep through anything. I grew up very quickly. When I returned to New Zealand 4 years later, I found it difficult to slot back into my peer group. I felt much older and out of sync with them. Attending Anzac Day services in Saigon is a memory that is etched forever in my mind. The service was held in the grounds of the New Zealand Embassy at dawn. Saigon was under a curfew, and I had to get a special permit to travel across the city on my motorbike, hoping that I wouldn't meet anyone or get stopped by a patrol. We all stood in the garden before a memorial. The whole city was silent, except for the thud of bombs and rockets and the whirring of choppers. As the last post was played, my thoughts turned to soldiers I had known and who had been killed, and students who had graduated from the school I'd taught in, had been drafted and had died. They were so young, and so many of them were dead. It was a solemn and difficult morning. Many had wet eyes and tearful faces as we shared breakfast together afterwards. In my 4 years in Vietnam, I was to see firsthand the suffering of the local people. I worked for World Vision as a volunteer in one of their orphanages. The death rate amongst the babies was high, but so many poured in through the doors to take their place, the numbers never fell. My son David was one of them. The orphanage I worked in was Catholic. In the orphanage David was resident in, there were 400 children under the age of five, cared for by five nuns. Babies slept two to a crib at times and were confined in them most of the day. There was a problem with rats climbing the outside walls at night and biting the babies. Food was in short supply, and at 20 months, when I took David home with me, he had never experienced solid food. we went in to help supply food. I got milk biscuits from New Zealand, but the children couldn't digest them. So we bought pigs at the local market, fattened them on the milk biscuits, and then sold them to buy local food. One of the nuns told me that during the Tet Offensive in 1968, a major battle had been fought in the orphanage area. The nuns used their only defense, prayer. At the end of the battle, the orphanage stood unscathed amongst several blocks of complete destruction. In war, there are so many victims, not just soldiers, but civilians, families, and innocent children. I know from my own experience that if you have a belief in the Lord, it gives you the strength to get through anything. On Anzac Day, we need to remember John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Unfortunately, wars have continued throughout history, and Anzac Day is a time to reflect on and pray for all those people who suffer because others desire land and power. I would like to conclude with my thoughts on Ukraine. A city of ashes, crumpled and torn, greets the day, a sullen grey morn. Living like rats, people fight to stay free, but death and destruction are all that they see, and a child cries. Bridges destroyed to deter the foe, railway station scenes of heartache and woe. Young people with guns who have yet to grow tall, determined to hold, not to let their country fall. And a child cries. A leader who is amazing, staying in the front line. These battles were never his ambition or design. His heart bleeds as he pleads with the world outside, asking for help so that his people can abide. And a child cries. A war that is carried on our screens every night. The whole world can see Ukraine and its terrible plight. These people are our fellows, though they live far away. We wonder how we would survive horror day after day. And a child cries. Long winding queues as people cross the border, patiently waiting and keeping their order. Mothers with babies and children at heel, people so tired they can no longer feel, and a child cries. Sanctions are established, but will this turn the tide? Can this defeat a man who has postured and lied? A man who sends young men to war, not understanding why? They have been called to battle, to suffer and to die. And their children cry. God, where are you in this nightmare of weeping and of pain? See your suffering people and bring your healing light again. Place honor in men's hearts so they lay their weapons down. Fly the dove of peace over every city and every town so that the children smile. For many, Anzac Day represents wars fought beyond our shores and sacrifices made by fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. It is more than that. It is when we should reflect on our soldiers who still represent us in theatres of war, and we should pray for them. And for the innocent caught up in something they have no control over and who suffer and die. But most of all, we need to be thankful that young men and women left these shores in time of war and fought to preserve our way of life. Please listen to this version of the 23rd Psalm and reflect on and pray for innocent people around the world facing trauma brought upon them by others.
Come before you, Lord, and we remember all those people who are still in our services, Lord, in our armed services, and Lord, the commitment they make, Lord, to be ready to defend, and Lord, some who are actually in active fronts and peacekeeping roles, and Lord, some in more dangerous situations than that, and Lord, even those who have volunteered to go to Ukraine, Lord, to commit to fighting the war over there, Lord, and taking into account the dangers they face, and some have given their lives already, Lord, in that situation. So, Father, we pray too, Lord, for the chaplains, Lord, amongst them, and some we know very closely, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and insight and words of comfort. And Lord, for those people who are committed into our services and forces, Lord, those who in particular don't know you, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would move in their midst, Lord, that they would seek and, Lord, seek to come and find, Lord, the peace that only you can give, Lord, especially in times of turmoil. And Lord, we remember those who have been at the front, Lord, and have come home, Lord, and have suffered tremendous trauma and post-traumatic stress, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that in this time, Lord, that you would meet with them, Lord, that you would give those around them the support and the wisdom, Lord, to work through that situation and come to know, Lord, that you also went through a tremendously traumatic time, Lord, and you stood to the end and took, Lord, the sins of the world upon your shoulders, Lord, and died in our place, and, Lord, purchased our lives, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would just remember that at this time, and, Lord, that whenever the opportunity comes, that we would be able to share, Lord, your love and your grace, and particularly with those who are suffering, Lord, in the situation they've just been mentioning that Lynn has shared on. So, Father, we just pray that you'd be with us today, Lord, that you guide us, Lord, in this situation. We pray for all those, Lord, that have been in the war situation and continue, Lord, to serve us there. In Jesus' name, amen.
David. The other thing that I want to make opportunity for as well, as we conclude our service, is there's a very real battle that we know it's very physical out there, but also there are battlefields within us, within our minds, within our hearts, within our souls, and it's very real. And we may, others may not see it, others may not realize what's going on within each one of us, but we do. We know we know what our battle might be. And the 23rd Psalm is such a beautiful psalm. And I think also what highlighted it for me was, as Lynn mentioned, that the chaplain was saying, the padre was saying, that he's taking the phone numbers and all the addresses of each person so that that he could then write back to the families. But the thing is, our Father knows us intimately. And he knows everything that we are facing, all the challenges, the heartache, the heartbreak, the war that is going on within us. And as Lynn was saying, you know, this opportunity for the soldiers to find peace in war, how mysterious is that? That is what the Father offers to us. That is what Jesus offers to us. Peace in the midst of the warfare that is going, the battlefield of our mind or of our hearts or of our soul. And it is our desire, it is our delight to pray with one another, that we would be a praying community who would stand alongside one another as each of us face our battles, whatever it might be. So as we conclude the service this afternoon, We have folk who love to pray, who love to stand in the gap, who love to stand alongside. So if you are facing a battle of any kind of nature, whether it be tiny, whether it be colossal, we would really love you to come forward, to come and see one of us. We would love to pray with you, to stand alongside you, because we love you, because we want to journey together this life with Christ. And sometimes, a lot of the times, it's really hard to do it on our own. We're not called to do it on our own. When you look at the army, it's not one person. I mean, I don't know the terms, but it's a troop or it's a platoon or it's a number alongside one another. So I really do encourage you, if you are facing something today, please, we'd love to pray with you. Almighty God, we give you the glory. We give you all the glory this afternoon. We thank you that no matter what it is that we might be journeying through, whatever our challenges, our struggles, the battles that we are facing, Lord God, the ones that we want to keep hidden because we're too ashamed, or the ones that, oh God, we just long for someone to help us with, we thank you that you are always with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We can take hope in your presence. We can take hope in your power. We can take hope in your love and your mercy and your grace. And I pray that as we choose to journey, as we choose to open up our lives to you and to one another, that we would know your company, your presence, and the company of saints in our journey. Be enthroned upon our praises, we pray. Be enthroned and inhabit our praises, we ask. Pray your blessing upon us as we stay, as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.